This is Xfinity from the Sidelines. Thank you for joining me. I am Gianna Franco, and today it is none other than the fabulous and very busy Joe Fortenbaugh, who is host of Joe Low and Dibs on the morning show at 95.7 The Game. I'm sure many of you listen, but if you didn't know, he is also part of the panel on ESPN's Daily Wager, and he hosts his own podcast, the Sharp 600 Sports Betting Podcast. So, Joe, thanks for hanging out with me for a little bit. How are you?
No tricks this time. I realized a couple years ago when I did an interview with you, you are very charming and very persuasive, and you're able to get people to let their guard down and say stupid and idiotic things they shouldn't be saying. So no tricks this time, Franco. I'm ready for you.
Okay, so we'll absolutely have some tricks. No, I'm kidding. Well, here's the thing, Joe. You know I am fascinated with sports betting and, you know, people putting money on the line. Every time I see some story where some guy, you know, made a crazy bet to win whatever and, you know, bet $20 and gets $400,000, it just fascinates me. So I'm going to ask you a ton of betting questions. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are always, you know, just don't understand how the process works. And, you know, you and I have talked about it before, but we're going to get to that in just a second. But first, I want to start with your latest gig on the Daily Wager on ESPN. Tell me about it, and congrats, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. This is ESPN's first foray into sports betting ever since last May. So we're pretty much coming up on a year here. The Supreme Court ruled in a landmark decision, I believe it was 6-3, to repeal what was known as PASPA, and that is the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act of 1992, which basically said you can't have sports betting. By repealing that, the Supreme Court said the states could go ahead and make the decision themselves. So I believe at the moment we're looking at about 8 states that have legalized sports betting, but the thought process is by the next election in less than 2 years, we could be halfway. We could have 25 states. Iowa's making a move right now. Tennessee's making a move. Illinois is expected to make a move. It is very, very popular. And as a result, this has created a new niche industry within sports coverage. So the one issue for the major networks, Fox, ESPN, CBS, NBC, they have had to take their time stepping into this space because they have TV deals with the various professional sports leagues. And a lot of these leagues aren't too fond of sports betting just yet. They don't want to alienate any fans they have by getting into business with something they might not fully understand. Now, the NBA has been at the forefront of supporting sports betting, but the rest are taking their time. So ESPN was taking its time. It was a process that I believe I began speaking to them last August. And then the official decision came down at the beginning of February, and the show is 1 hour a day, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 Eastern. So it's that hour leading into the first hockey games, basketball games, baseball games, and it's designed to give you what's called actionable intelligence, information that you can use that night for your sports bet. So it's been a lot of fun. It's a fast-paced show. There are a lot of graphics. Doug Kazarian's the host. He does a tremendous job with everything, with his information, with moving the show along. The producers have been fantastic, and we're all kind of finding our way here, but it's been a very, very delightful process so far.
So how do you like the differences of being on television versus radio?
Great question. Not enough people ask that question. Is a great question. The beauty of TV is that you have these very short bursts. They will come to me for maybe 1 minute, 4 or 5 times during the show. And the entire segment might last 90 seconds to 2 minutes. So what that does is it forces me to take the best possible information and to not waste any words or any time whatsoever. Like when I'm speaking, I'm hoping that literally every word I convey is of value to you, whether it's humorous, whether it's informative, educational. It's very important to make sure I narrow all of that down. I don't want to waste words and I don't want to BS in any way, shape, or form. On the negative side, you do have to dedicate a lot of brain power to your posture, to your look, to your speech, to your tone. So I feel like you're taking a little bit away from the performance by focusing so much on these ancillary aspects, which are very important for TV. The beauty of radio is you can come in. It doesn't matter what you look like.
Right.
It doesn't matter at all. You just push a button and you go. And if you stumble over a word, who cares? Just keep going. Grip it and rip it. So, again, though, you might have to talk for 50 minutes straight, and we've all had those delays and those lulls. You and Damon have experienced them, I'm sure. We experienced them in the mornings where you look up and it's like, damn, we got 12 minutes to go, and we're fading. We really need to pick up the pace here.
Yeah, Yeah, it is different in television because everything does need to be concise. You have such a small amount of time. What's always fascinating, though, is when men do television, because women are much more apt to wearing makeup and being aware of their hair and this and that. And I agree with the whole radio versus TV thing. It's nice to show up in jeans and a ponytail. But have you found your favorite foundation?
Oh, not only that, I've got these Ole Henriksen, I believe, skin products.
Nice.
I've got this like truth serum I have to apply. I have different types of moisturizers. I have stuff I put on before I go to bed. I've learned the proper way to put on foundation, but then also how to remove it right away because it can clog the pores and it can cause zits. I'm like all over this. That's one of the positives, like this great facial skincare. One of the negatives is that I have to shave so often now. Like, I would go 2 weeks in between shaves with radio. Now I got to shave every day before the show.
It's a whole new ball game. Well, I'm impressed you're that really far along. Pretty good, Joe. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Most guys won't
question,
even
really it is.
They won't even know where to start. You know, most guys are like, foundation, what's that? But no, it's part of it, obviously, because you're on TV and you don't want to be shiny. People are staring at you. Now, you did mention the NBA as being one of the, you know, leagues that are kind of in the forefront or more accepting of the potential of, you know, betting being more part of sports and so forth. How far behind do you think the NFL and baseball will be? I feel like baseball will be really, really far behind because they pretty much move slowly when it comes to the rest of every other league making changes.
Great prediction. And I think you're almost there. I believe the NFL is going to be last.
Really?
And I think that's because they have the power. I think it's because they have the power to be last. That's why. I don't think they're in any rush to take any risk whatsoever. They are so dominant in the ratings, so dominant financially, that for them, why risk this? Why not wait until everybody else has already jumped into the pool, all the sharks are fed, and then they can ease in, have a beer, float around on the raft, and take their time. So personally, I think the NFL is going to be last for that reason. Now, baseball is a good prediction on your behalf because baseball is so, I don't want to say dated or archaic, but it's so historical and it's so old school and it's so traditional, but there's so much opportunity for betting baseball. You have so many months where you're not competing with any other sport. And because it moves so slow, some people view that as such a negative. It's such a positive with betting. You could sit there and you can bet balls and strikes. You can bet the outcome of the at-bat. Here comes Brandon Belt. You know what? I'll take 2-1 he gets on base. I'll take 8-1 that he doubles at this at-bat. And you can make it so much more interesting. And if you're sitting there at the stadium and you're doing it on your phone because that's the direction this is going, I believe in New Jersey it's somewhere just over 80% of all wagers have been placed electronically rather than in person. You know, that's a way to make a baseball game much more interesting. The one problem that a lot of people don't realize is when it comes to this in-game wagering on events as they happen within the game, there is a delay. Obviously, anyone on TV would know this, but there's a delay. When you're filming at Oracle, for example, for a Warrior game, and you're seeing it on TV, there's a few seconds delay there.
Right.
And that could be an advantage that's exploited by people who are either in the building or by bookmakers who see right in advance, say at Oracle Park, oh, Brandon Belt's going to go down 0-1. They shift the odds right before you see that, and you bet into a bad number. So there's a lot that still needs to work out. We're in very primitive stages, but there are a lot of smart people working on these issues and asking the right questions. And if we just take our time and we do it right and we treat the customer with respect, this can't be a shady industry like so many people have viewed it in the past. You know, the mob, New York City, and your bookie in his leather jacket. This has got to be run well. Otherwise, it's going to get screwed up for all of us.
Well, it sounds like it needs to be regulated, you know, especially with what you just said. If they can try to make changes that quickly for people watching, it does, obviously that's not fair. So it sounds like there needs to be some sort of regulatory, you know, a company or some corporation or a group or a, you know, whatever, a group of people that can kind
what
of maintain
need,
that.
What you need is you just need to follow the example of legalized marijuana. Like the sports betting is really just the exact same thing happening as marijuana. I mean, we were in this uncharted territory. A few states had the opportunity to go first. They set the example. They showed you how it could be done, something that a lot of people, a lot of conservative people, and I'm not saying that politically, just people who didn't necessarily want to see, you know, marijuana be legalized or sports betting be legalized, these two are following the same path. So just take a look at how marijuana has done it. Colorado has done an excellent job with this.
Yeah.
So let's follow that path for sports betting and see if we can borrow and learn from those who have blazed the trail before us.
Well, it's certainly exciting, and I look forward to it because, again, I am fascinated with this stuff. And it's interesting that you say baseball, because of its pace of play, might actually be, you know, one of the best sports to utilize for betting, because people complain about pace of play all the time when it comes to baseball. So maybe that's the thing that pushes them into the next century, you know, gives them that, elevates them a little more modern.
Like, imagine if I could just bet innings. Like, if I could just come out and bet the first inning, or if I could bet the first three innings, or if I could bet the first, you know, out each time with those outcomes, that would change everything. And there'd be a lot of coverage as well. You need hosts, you need analysts, you need studio shows. This market is going to explode. The one thing I keep hearing from everyone? There are no females in this space. Everybody needs female hosts. Everybody needs female analysts. Everyone needs to round out for diversity. I don't think there's a single one out there. I know one on this show. It's called Action. It's on Showtime right now. Mm-hmm. Kelly Stewart, who's in Las Vegas, she does a nice job. She's on the show. They follow her life a little bit. That's it. That's really like the only female in the entire world that I've come across that knows how to talk sports betting.
Okay, so I better get on it. It's going to be Sports Betting 101 with Joe Fortenbaugh.
Yeah, there are going to be opportunities. You and I both know Jason Barrett, obviously.
Yes.
He had his radio summit in Los Angeles a few weeks ago. And I was down there, and there was a panel with four females, a female agent, and then three female that were in the broadcasting, one who's behind the scenes and then two who are on air. And they talk about how difficult it can be to get jobs and how this is an industry that's male-dominated, which I completely agree with, and it's difficult for females to break in, and it's unfair, and I agree with that as well. And they're looking for more opportunities. What could we do better? And I remember I went up to each one of them at the mixer afterwards, and I said, have you thought about sports betting? It is a wide-open market. It's an untapped frontier. All these networks are going to need hosts, analysts, studio people, in-the-field people, you name it. And there are, like, literally, like I said, one. There's one female out there, so the market is open. It's open for business.
Oh, that's interesting. I am definitely going to keep that in mind, Joe Fortenbaugh. Thank you. I like that. I like knowing, too, there's
that's
more opportunity.
That's why you bring me on these podcasts.
Not just
actionable
for
information. That's what I'm all about.
Not just for listeners, but for my own future as well in the business. So we are knee deep in the NBA playoffs. So far, Portland shut down the Thunder 4-1 to advance. Still waiting on the Warriors Clippers outcome. Warriors leading that series 3-1. You got Houston leading Utah 3-1. Denver leading the Spurs 3-2. What are your best bets so far in the West?
All right, so if I was to look around, there's an interesting dynamic taking place because you have some individual games that are left to be wagered, and then you have what's called series prices. Series prices are basically the bet on who's going to win the series. And this was the bet I was going to give you when I came on. I wanted to give you a good one. It doesn't take place in the Western Conference, though. Is that okay?
That's fine. We can move on to the East. I've got notes on that as well.
Let's do this. I'll give you the East, and then you can ask me any follow-ups you like, and then we can go back to the West.
Okay.
I figured I'd start this out with a bang. It's not exactly an underdog pick, but the series coming up between Philadelphia and Toronto. Mm-hmm. Toronto is listed as a favorite. They're minus 220. What that means is you risk $220 to win $100, or you risk $2,200 to win $1,000. Minus 220, they're the favorite. Philly, conversely, is the underdog. They are plus 180. That means a $100 bet, if the Sixers win, would get you your initial investment back plus $180. If you bet $1,000, you get your $1,000 back plus $1,800. I am going to be betting the Toronto Raptors here minus 220. So I could risk $220 to win $100. I do not see Philadelphia as detail-oriented enough to win a series against a talented team like Toronto in the playoffs. NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, where you're talking about a seven-game series, you win by paying attention to details. You win by winning the margin, the little narrow areas that are up for grabs. Everyone here is talented. Everybody here is good. Everybody here is well-coached. You're not going to have much of an advantage when it comes to that stuff at this stage of the game. So you've got to be more detail-oriented, and Philly is not that. Jimmy Butler got ejected from a game against Brooklyn. Joel Embiid, one minute he's hurt, one minute he's not. Some say he's out of shape. Ben Simmons, one minute he's hot, one minute he's cold. Brett Brown, the head coach, is not good at managing tight games late when you get to the final 2 or 3 minutes. They're a mess. They're an exciting mess, and they've got all the potential in the world. But Toronto's buttoned up. They're organized. They play great defense. And when it comes down to it, they're the team that's going to find a way to make more plays and avoid making costly mistakes. I like Toronto to win that series, and that should mean something to people who know me because I'm originally from the Philadelphia area.
Yeah.
I love the Sixers. I want to see them win, but I've been following them all year, and they're just too sloppy. I think Toronto handles them, so I'll be betting the Raptors to win that series.
So is it better in a playoff situation? And well, maybe it's per matchup that you kind of have to consider this, but to bet on a series versus game versus game? Because, for example, when the Warriors lost to the Clippers, lost that 31-point lead, no one would have ever thought that would have happened. And if you're betting on the Clippers
Correct.
In that game, you know, if it's a one-game bet, you're going to probably get quite a payoff.
Correct. Especially if you're betting in-game, where they're down 31, if you bet them to win there, that's one of those bets you're talking about. $10 could pay thousands of dollars in return, because no one would expect them to come back and win that game, given the fact that there was only 19 minutes to go. It's really about wherever you find value, wherever you believe you are getting the best of the number. Here's a perfect example of that. Last night, Portland and Oklahoma City played Game 5 in Portland. Now, when the point spread opened, the Trailblazers were a 3-point favorite, which means if you bet on them, they needed to win by 3 points in order for you to push. If they win by more than 3 points, you win your bet. But enough money came in on the Blazers to push that line up to 4. Guess what happened? Tie game, late, Damian Lillard hits a 3-pointer to win it for the Blazers. They win by 3. If you bet it early and you got the best of it, as they say, you pushed. If you ended up betting it late, like some did, and you took -4, you lost. That's one of the most important things. Money management is very important, and getting the best possible numbers is very important. So sometimes that could mean a series price. Sometimes it can mean an individual game price. Sometimes it can mean betting on a team in a series and then hedging your bet later by betting against that team in individual games. That's kind of a 400-level class on sports betting that we might leave for the next podcast, but it really just comes down to finding when you have the best value.
And right now you're saying, as far as a series bet, your best value is going to be Toronto.
Right now, yes. I look at that series. I do not see Philadelphia being all that competitive. Maybe individually game by game, but I don't see them taking this thing 7. I think Toronto is a much better team. I think Philly is way too sloppy. So that's why I like Toronto. Now, as we get into the series, there might be individual game prices where I feel I can get the best of it with Philly or the best of it with Toronto. A popular theory that used to exist, but it's since been exploited, is called the zigzag theory. Betting the opposite of what happens in the previous game. So the first game, for example, of the Philly-Brooklyn series, the Nets upset the Sixers. And then the first game of the Magic-Raptors series, you have the Magic beating the Raptors. You also had the Warriors hammering the Clippers. Well, guess what happened in the next game? The exact opposite, with all those teams covering. Toronto came back to hammer the Magic, the Sixers came back to hammer the Nets, and the Clippers came back to shock the Warriors. This was a theory that used to pay dividends a few years ago, but it became so popular because so many people wrote about it that the books saw it coming and they adjusted their prices. So it's not a great move now, but it is something to keep in mind, the zigzag theory. If you're seeing a team score a ton of points one night, maybe the next night they don't score so many points. That just happened in the Denver-San Antonio series.
Right.
So many points had been being scored, but there was a great under opportunity in Game 5, and that under was never in doubt. It was a no-doubt bet that cashed from the beginning.
So is it too late? I mean, maybe this is a dumb question. I don't know. But if you're just starting to, you know, get into this betting thing and you're watching the NBA finals, you're like, okay, is it too late to maybe place a series bet when they're already kind of in it? You have to do it at the very beginning, right?
No, you'll have adjusted prices. So like
okay.
Right now, before any of these series start, you can bet them. But then once they start, say, for example, I mean, you wouldn't do it right now with the Warriors series because the price would be insane. But for the Nuggets and the Spurs, Nuggets up 3-2. Heavy favorites to win the series, but you could still make a series bet on the Spurs to come back and win it. Yeah, the betting pretty much exists for every option out there.
All right, so your best bet for a finals matchup then. Who do you think we're going to see in the matchup when it's all said and done?
I don't think you're going to get great value on any of this. Obviously, I'm going to support the Warriors because I don't have any reason to believe anyone is going to beat them 4 times in 7 games. It's not a sexy answer, but seriously. I like what Houston has done late in the season. I think they are as efficient and ruthless of an offense as you'll find outside of Golden State. And I know that they're hungry coming into the series with the Warriors, assuming they get past Utah and that the Warriors get past the Clippers. But by and large, it's just, how do you stack up with the Warriors' star power? Sure, maybe Klay goes cold one night. Maybe KD has an off night. Maybe Steph has an off night. But can you get those three to have multiple off nights 4 times in 7 games? I just don't see it. So I'm going to continue to side with the Warriors. until they give me a reason to think otherwise. The East is where it gets very interesting. Milwaukee has been an absolute juggernaut, and if you look at them closely, they have followed the path the Warriors blazed 4 years ago when they started their run. Best record during the regular season, the guy that probably should win the MVP, Steph won it that year, Giannis should win it this year. Mm-hmm. You go into the playoffs as a number one seed, you hammer your first-round opponent and sweep them out of the playoffs. The teams have followed some very interesting parallels. I think first-year head coaches, too. I'm pretty sure this is Budenholzer's first year taking over for Jason Kidd, and it was Steve Kerr's first year taking over for Mark Jackson. So you've got some very interesting parallels here. However, I do kind of lean a little bit more towards Toronto. I'm not sure if I want to buy into Milwaukee just yet. I like the fact that Kawhi's gone out and won it before. I like Toronto's home court, and I love the way they play defense. Milwaukee probably should be the pick, but since I can get a better price on Toronto, I would bet them right now. I would take the Raptors and the Warriors.
Wow. Okay. All right. Very cool. I mean, this is interesting. Toronto in the series, and then you're taking them possibly for the finals. All right. Very cool. Good info there.
They made some ridiculous adjustments against Orlando. After they lost that game to Orlando, they hammered them over the next four games. I mean, what they did was so thorough and so impressive. They're deep. There's a lot they can throw at you. And again, the Kawhi Leonard factor is huge because all these teams that are left in the East, who's been to the finals and won? You got Kyrie Irving in Boston, and you got Kawhi in Toronto. Right. I know some other guys have won, but I'm talking about genuine stars. Those are the only two, and I think that's going to make a big difference.
Do you think at all watching the Warriors this season versus the past 4 to 5, has your confidence level in them at all changed? You know, I know you said unless they give you a reason why not to pick them, but you have to sort of take into consideration a lot of the off-court storylines this year have sort of, you know, lent itself to believe that there may be issues and things aren't as hunky-dory as they seem. Not everyone's always getting along when it comes to the team as a whole. So does that at all play into some of your decisions when you're placing these bets?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. They are still priced at a rate at which you would think they were the best they've ever been. And theoretically, they should be because of the talent they have. But they don't play like it. Mm-mm. I mean, throughout the course of the season, it's not just the infighting and everybody connected to the team saying they're not having as much fun, they're not experiencing as much joy, it's been a bit of a grind. You know, it's not just that, it's the fact that they have these lapses where they just go out and lay down. That Clipper game was completely inexcusable, completely inexcusable. And they'll look around and say, well, we still won it in 5, and that's a good team. Okay, but you guys are a dynasty. You should have cleaned them up in 4. That never should have happened. The only game you lost, you had a 31-point lead with 19 and a half minutes to go. Newsflash, that type of lead had never been blown in the playoffs in NBA history. So there's something to that. We saw the meltdowns against Dallas and Phoenix, some really lousy teams this year. We also saw some of the best basketball we've ever seen from them. So there is reason for concern knowing Houston is gunning for them. And then I look ahead to the finals, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is the Bucks. The Bucks are an exciting team. The Bucks score a lot of points, and that's a good home court advantage. The Raptors are a really good team defensively. Kawhi Leonard's going to be a problem. So I look to the finals. I think in years past, Cleveland hasn't really posed that deep of a threat, but this year, absolutely, I think they're going to have a big challenge waiting for them in the Eastern Conference.
And the Raptors have done well against the Warriors this year. That's the thing, too. I mean, I know there's been factors.
Yeah, 2-0, and they won the game. They won the game in Oakland,
yeah.
Without Kawhi Leonard. They won that game by like 20.
That does raise an eyebrow. It certainly does. All right, we're going to wrap up with the NFL draft. It's coming up. 49ers, any bets on the – first let me ask you this. Is it really a good idea to bet on the draft? I mean, considering it's sort of a crapshoot, isn't it? You've got busts. You know, there can be some best picks of all time that don't even come within the first round. Is it a good idea to actually place your money on something like this?
I have never in my life had more success or made more money betting anything other than the NFL draft.
Really?
It's not even close. It's so easy. It's shooting fish in a barrel. It's the easiest thing out there. I've been betting it for 10 years. I've won all 10 seasons. And I'm not saying this to be arrogant. It's just the most beatable thing out there because the bookmakers hold no significant edge over you. In every other sport, they hold an edge. Not in this. Because all the information that's out there that they can get, you can get. I've always advised 3 things. Number 1, understand team needs. Understand what every team is looking for in the draft. Number 2, understand who the best players are in the draft, right? 32 picks in the first round, that's where all the key bets take place. You can probably, through enough research, figure out who 24 or 25 of those guys are going to be. Now, you might not know where they're going, but if you know what teams need, and you know 25 of the 32 players that are going to be in the first round, you're in really good shape. And then what I want you to do is read mock drafts and take a look at what people think. Granted, everybody gets mock drafts wrong, and getting 8 out of 32 is considered a great mock draft. But it still at least gives you an idea if you follow the best mockers in the business, the guys who are really plugged in. You know, you check out Peter King. I don't care if Peter only gets 6 out of 32. Peter knows what's going on, and he's going to give you good ideas as to what could happen. Then you go out there and you find the best bets. I'm a big fan of bets that'll say, which of the following two players will be drafted first? Last year, my big bet was Baker Mayfield was listed at 5-1 to go to the Cleveland Browns, number one overall. And that was available the night before the draft. I mean, think about it. A $200 bet there pays $1,000.
Wow.
And everyone knew I was going to take a risk on it because we started hearing those rumors. And that's the other thing. Follow the news cycle. The information's out there. Guys like Adam Schefter, I remember a few years ago, Adam Schefter came on the air and he said, mark my words, there is no way Kayvon Austin falls past the Jets at number 8. It was either 8 or 9. And what happened was Austin got picked the selection before the Jets, I believe it was, by the Rams. But he'll say that, and then you'll go onto your site, and it'll say, you know, Kayvon Austin over under 9.5 for draft position. Now, the under will be heavily juiced. You'll have to risk maybe $400 to win 100. But Adam Schefter's a sure thing, and he says that. How much money can I get down? I'll risk thousands of dollars just to win a few hundred, knowing flat out that that's a guaranteed winner. That's the key with the draft. You can get some of those. You just got to stay on top of the news. So you're speaking to a guy who loves the draft. Every year I'm all over this stuff.
See, I thought it would be totally the opposite because I think of the moments of, like, you know, Paige and Ryan Leaf, Johnny Manziel. How do you avoid the bust? Like the and how do you find the diamond in the rough? Like, say, a Tom Brady who wasn't even taken in the first round and turned out to be, you know, one of the best QBs ever.
Oh, you don't need them to be good. You don't need them to you don't need to project these guys like the teams do. You just need to know where they're going to get drafted. Everyone knew Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning were going 1-2. It was just a matter of which order they were going, right? That's all you need to figure out. There will be options out there like over under 5.5 players from the Southeastern Conference drafted in the first round. You can do the research and you can figure that one out. Over under 3.5 quarterbacks drafted in the first round. Over under 2 running backs in the first round. You know, and then you'll get Quinnen Williams, over under draft position of 3. Do you believe he'll go in the top 3 or do you believe he'll go over, which means 4 or later? You know, you find 2 or 3 of these and you hammer them home, you can have a great night. And it does make for some really compelling TV as you're sitting there sweating these bets out.
So I'm thinking way too far ahead then. I'm thinking way too deep into the whole process. It's really just a matter of what's happening that day. And who cares what happens next?
Yes, these bets are all graded Thursday night. You don't have to worry about how these guys turn out. You don't have to worry about if they make the team. You don't have to worry about if they never even show up. If it's Johnny Manziel over under 8 and you bet over, you just need Manziel to go 9th or later. And once that happens, who cares what happens with his career? You won your bet.
So one of the best bets coming up then is doing the NFL draft. Cool. I'm in.
Oh my God, it's easy money. It's the easiest money out there. There's nothing easier than it.
What's your favorite sports betting site, if you can share?
My sports betting.
Like, what's your favorite sites to go to do sports betting? I mean, or maybe do you? Oh. Maybe you're so in, you've got your personal people you contact. I don't know. But is there good?
That's probably not something that's worth handing out to listeners. And the reason I say that is, there are a lot of questionable services out there, and the last thing you want to do is get caught endorsing somebody that takes advantage of other people. There are some unscrupulous sites out there. There are some good sites out there, but I always stay away from answering that question because I don't want to be responsible for someone walking into a scenario where they lose their money and they blame me. None of these sites pay me to work for them. I understand how this business goes. There are some questionable dealings at times. You have to be ready for that until you get legalization in your state. So I never like to really recommend any of those. I always recommend if you're going to do it, try to do it in person. Go to Tahoe, go to Reno, go to Vegas. Try to get it done there.
All right. So basically do your due diligence. Get your information.
Yes.
You know, do your research.
Do your due diligence. Yeah.
That's fair
enough. You got to understand, it's a bit of a wild west when you're dealing with these websites that are in Costa Rica and Panama. You know, it's a completely different set of rules. You know, they're not paying taxes to the government, so our government is not going to help you get your money if something goes south there. But conversely, they don't want to screw over clients because then it's going to cost them business long term. It's a tricky industry. I would like to say it's a completely above board, but there are a lot of pitfalls that you can encounter along the way. You got to be smart.
Well, lucky for us, Tahoe is only like a 3-hour drive away. We can do that on a weekend. Yeah. Joe, this was awesome.
No doubt.
Thank you so much for joining me on Xfinity from the Sidelines. Like, seriously, this was fascinating. I'm sure listeners are going to love all this information.
Always my pleasure. You are the best interviewer in the business, and I appreciate you having me on, Gianna. Thank you so much.
All right. So don't forget, you can find Joe, obviously, daily on the morning show at 95.7 The Game and on the Daily Wager, which is daily as well on ESPN and the Sharp 600 Sports Betting Podcast.